All right, and welcome everyone to another Sunday evening here on peoplesinternetradio.com. I am Stephen Roberts. I think I need to bring my level up a little bit. Seems to be a little bit low. And this is Can't Slick a Ball, as I mentioned, on peoplesinternetradio.com. Still got to bring it up a little bit more. I have my favorite guest on. She's been on before. Her company is in Kansas City, Missouri, and it is Transcendence Wellness Center. I want to welcome back Jessica Ahlstrom.
Hello, Stephen.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Okay. I need to bring you up a little bit, too, it seems.
Okay.
I've got my levels. Right? Yeah, no. I just need to bring you up in the mixer. That's all. But welcome back to the show again.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. It's always fun to sit and chat with you for a good hour or so.
Well, at least 45 minutes anyways, but
yeah.
You've been having some problems with your voice here in the last couple of weeks, haven't you?
Oh my goodness. Well, I've been doing way too much talking, obviously. I've been doing a lot of radio and a lot of interviews, and I've been doing quite a bit of teaching at the center, not to mention all the coaching that I'm doing. So I think my voice is telling me to take a day of rest and stop talking.
Take a little breather, yeah.
Yeah, but I think I'll be able to make it through today.
Well, the pre-show talk we had a little while ago, we were going to talk about some relationship things, relationship issues, or...
Absolutely. You know, what I've noticed energetically right now going on in crisis consciousness is relationships and, you know, and what that means as far as not just relationships with people, but relationships with ourselves, relationships with money, relationships with our, you know, our own body, and how, you know, using and really understanding kind of the law of attraction, the law of reflection, and the universal laws that we have here to play with, and how we can make sense of the relationships that we're in and heal the relationship. That's a really big, it's really important right now for the next year collectively, kind of cleaning up the past, kind of say, is what I'm seeing energetically on the planet.
Cleaning up the past, that means people's past issues or past conception or preconceptions?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you don't really heal anything unless you feel safe. So there's a feeling of safety that's kind of coming on the planet right now, and that has to do with a lot of the frequency that is here now. The planet has had kind of an upgrade. You know, every once in a while your phone will say, it's time to upgrade, and you have the choice whether or not to take it or not. Well, the planet is kind of going through the same thing. And the energy that's here now, you know, on the planet, because basically what that means scientifically is the planet in relationship to the sun has shifted position. So therefore, there's technically more light on the planet. Feels like things are speeding up. That's one of the manifestations that we might feel is that things are speeding up. And as things speed up, you know, there can be less darkness. And there can be less darkness within us. So what's happening is all of our old skeletons and all of our old behaviors and issues and ideas and past relationship stuff is all kind of surfacing, or not surfacing, but there's an urge for it to surface so that we can heal our broken hearts, so that we can heal the past, so we can create a future that's not laced in baggage. You know, it's kind of like we can take off this big backpack full of rocks we've been carrying our whole lives. And it should be technically, scientifically easier now because we do have more energy to help us feel safer. You know, one thing that I know as a healer is you don't heal anything until you feel really safe. And that means you need a support system. That means you need inspiration and, you know, people around you that are going to actually root for your greatness instead of push you back. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why we opened Transcendence Wellness Center was because, you know, going through the healing that I've gone through in my life, it was a lonely journey. And I basically had to create safety within myself to do the healing that I did. And I knew how hard that was, not having a support system. So when I opened Transcendence, the underlying idea was a safe space for people to come and heal.
Yeah. Well, you know, it can be amazing, Jessica. Sometimes you can be in a room full of people and still be alone.
Oh, ab- Absolutely. I think you can feel more alone. I think you can feel more alone in a long relationship or in a big group of people than you ever feel by yourself. And the reason why is kind of what I want to talk about today, if you don't mind, is the real truth of law of attraction and law of reflection. Because you get to see parts of yourself in groups of people and in a relationship that you don't see when you're by yourself. You know, it's like you don't know what you look like until you look in a mirror, right?
Right.
So,
yeah.
If you grew up the first 7 years of your life and were told, you know, don't feel that, don't do that, don't be that, don't say that, then you don't have the correct identity. You don't have the correct idea of who you actually are. So the rest of your life looks like you're trying to find the real you in the mirror. And the only way to find other aspects of yourself is through relationships and other people and things, you know, and that's a hard pill for people to swallow when, you know, someone's being mean to you. Is that really a reflection of you? Are you creating that? So what are your thoughts about that, Stephen? Because I think this could be a good debate tonight.
Well, you know, you always hear the sayings that you create how you want to feel, or you create how you want to be. I think you are onto something. How or what someone says to you or does to you, it really depends on how you take it and how you use those feelings on how you're going to be.
Absolutely.
How you're going to react. I know.
Go ahead.
Well, just before the show, I happened to mention that a couple of weeks back, I come across the Al Green song, "How Do You Mend a Broken Heart?" And I've been playing it a lot, and it sometimes really gets to me. And I know it. Well, I don't really want it to, but it does.
Mm-hmm. What are the feelings that come? What are the feelings that's coming up when you hear that song?
Just the question itself, the song poses, how can you mend a broken heart? Just that question.
Well, what do you think? How do you think that you can mend a broken heart, Stephen?
Well, I think you have to attack it just about like any other thing. You have to, I think we've mentioned this before on a past show. Somebody who's addicted to a drug or alcohol, they have to get out of the environment and get away from the people that cause all these things. Mm-hmm. And I think that could be the one of the same solutions also, is to get away from a toxic environment.
Absolutely. You're exactly right. And let's go a little bit deeper. You know, you can't heal a wound if you keep opening it. And if you are in an environment that re-stimulates you or reminds you of the wound, it will continue to open it. And the way to heal is exactly what you said, is loving yourself enough to remove yourself from the situation in order for you to get clarity to see a different perspective. That is how you heal. And you have to understand that you have all of the ability to heal within yourself. But the beauty of being on this planet is that we get to co-create with each other. And when you are in a state of asking for help and you love yourself enough to surrender that, they talk about this in AA, and addiction is not just about drugs and alcohol. It's about, you know, there's a lot of people addicted to drama. There's a lot of people addicted to negativity. So it isn't just necessarily some sort of substance that we can become addicted to, but we can be addicted to a thought process, you know, negative Nellies and bitterness and pessimism and all of these things. They're addictions just like drugs and alcohol. So when you ask, and you surrender that and say, you know, I mean, one of the best things that you could ever say, honestly, is, I don't even know how to do this. I just need help. And really, really allow yourself to be humble to the point of kind of getting out of your own way. You will notice very quickly people start to enter your life and start to help you out of that hole. It's a miracle, truly. But it's all because of the way that law of attraction and law of reflection work. And I kind of want to explain this because I'm a really big believer in nobody gets to be a victim, because we are literally creating all of this. And, you know, yes, we did not create the childhood, although we technically did if you look at it from a soul perspective. But the first 7 years of our life really develop who we are, how we feel about ourselves, how we feel about the world, what love looks like, you know, what friendship looks like, and who we are in that big world. So if we don't have the correct influences the first 7 years of our life, we learn things like manipulation, and we learn, you know, what to say and what to do in order to get our way. Because at the end of the day, the soul still wants to have the experience. And a lot of times we'll just go in. We'll become extremely introverted, and we won't say anything because, you know, we want to become invisible, because the things that we do are recognized poorly, or they're recognized in a way where it makes us feel humiliated. So a lot of us will introvert and use that as a form of addiction and, you know, kind of staying away from people. But the way that law of attraction actually technically works, and I'm going to give you the spiritual and the biochemical perspective of how spirit meets science on this particular planet. So your consciousness has a desire to experience something. Now, that information needs to be received by the human brain, which is connected to the consciousness. And that human brain has to filter that information through ideas and belief systems. So if the soul wants to experience love, and the brain receives that information, and there's a belief system in the neural pathways that say, I don't deserve love, or I'm unworthy, or I'm no good, or nobody loves me, then that, by the time that belief system is filtered with the consciousness to the physical body through hormones and feelings, the body is going to feel sadness, okay? Because there's a belief system that says, I can't have what I want. And then law of attraction is going to respond to that, and therefore create more situations where there is an absence of love in your life. So our job is to not be victims of today. Our job is to realize that we do not have what we want in our life today. And how do we get it? We have to go back and look at the belief systems. We have to look at the way our parents parented us. We have to look at the way our schoolmates treated us, how society treated us. And when we look in the mirror, what do we actually see? You know, how many of you really look in the mirror and say, wow, I'm amazing. I love myself.
Yeah. How many? That's a good question.
Right. You know, I want to talk about relationships this time, but technically what I'm actually always talking about every time I'm on your show is the relationship with yourself. Because the thing is, as above, so is below, right? Ask and it is given. All of the amazing quotes from the Bible sum up to how you believe you are will be. So if you want love consciously, but subconsciously don't believe that you're worthy, or don't believe that there's any good women or men out there, then by default of energetic magnetism, you will create men and women that aren't very good. You'll say, oh my gosh, why do I keep picking the wrong people?
Yeah.
There's no
right.
good men out there. There's
right.
no good women out there.
Yeah,
and it only takes one good trauma, right? It only takes mom or dad not being emotionally unavailable for us to spiral law of attraction for the rest of our lives, and we continue to choose partnerships, relationships, or be completely alone because of that pattern. And law of reflection is showing you in your face what you really believe about yourself.
I've got a question for you now. That just brought up something. I can't tell you how many times I've heard, people. A lot of time it's women, Jessica. They will say, why do I keep picking the same guys over and over again? Why do I keep picking the losers?
Yep, absolutely. And you know what I'd say? Tell me about your relationship with your dad.
Yeah.
Because that is the first male relationship that a child has, a little girl has. And she actually, in a state of being somewhat unconscious and conscious the first 7 years, you're like a sponge of learning those first 7 years. You're not really judging what's going on, but you're just absorbing data and observations and information. So when you have this desire as a little soul to just love and be loved, and that is not given the first 7 years, the child in you will go searching for that for the rest of her life. But unfortunately, because law of attraction is there, she will keep attracting her dad. Does that make sense?
Sure it does. Certainly.
I know I've done it. I've done it several times. You know, and then you kind of sit back from a higher perspective of consciousness and say, oh my gosh, wow, I'm dating my mother or I'm dating my father. You know, what's going on here? Until we really become consciously enough to go, okay, so it's time for me to really break this cycle, fall madly in love with myself, and then find a really great partnership that's equal to the love that I have for me.
Well, you know, I think a lot of the time, Jessica, the biggest problem people have, they fall in lust, and instead of knowing the other, well, their partner, instead of falling in love, a lot of times they will just fall in lust.
Yeah, lust, infatuation. But you know what? The soul learns amazing lessons from those relationships, because those relationships are like a drug, and they're not usually, you know, they're not usually abundant in a great manifestations. Usually it's kind of like a drug-induced spiral, those type of relationships. And those are important relationships for us to have so that we can learn about what we deserve and what we want. And, you know, what is the difference between lust and love? And to me, lust is an infatuation of an idea that's not going to come to pass. It's going to be a high that's going to turn into a low. You know, it's going to be, it's not going to sustain. It's not going to expand your life. It's going to contract your life. And that's the same thing a drug does. Not that those relationships are bad, because we get to learn huge lessons in those relationships. I mean, if you look at some relationships you've probably been in the past, you can ask yourself, you know, who am I because of that relationship? What did I learn? Because there's always a learning experience for the soul in any relationship. And a lot of times, I know for my clients is, they say, well, you know, I learned that I deserved better. Or I learned that I deserved that I didn't want to be a doormat anymore, so I needed to take back my power. You know, after the infatuation leaves, you're usually left pretty wounded. So those relationships we call wound mates, two wounded people coming together to duke it out.
Yeah, yeah. I understand. I do understand a lot of things about, I mean, I haven't put myself out there a lot, and I haven't...
Can I ask something, Stephen?
Sure.
This broken heart that you're dealing with, have you ever done any... Have you ever done any clearing and healing and therapy around your mother?
No. That would be just about impossible.
Well, it would be today, because you're still in that vibration of having her around you all the time, right?
Yeah.
But if you were to remove yourself from that situation for a good couple of weeks, we could do a lot of great work.
I probably could.
Because, again, so you keep opening the wound.
Yeah. Well, there's a, you know, there's that history thing. I think we talked about it a little while ago, about an hour ago, whatever it was. And, you know, family knows your history. Family knows, well, all what you're done. They've seen you with scraped knees and broken bones, cuts and bruises. And they've seen you when you didn't look all that great, you know?
Yeah, and honestly, they're not supposed to be judging you. So... You know, everyone goes through a metamorphosis. Everyone goes through growth, and everyone goes through a death and rebirth stage every seven-year cycle. So we're supposed to fall down. We're supposed to make mistakes. We're supposed to get it wrong. We're supposed to trial and error. And when we don't have family that love and support that journey, then that's just like any other toxin. You know, I am all for the family unit, as long as it supports that greatness within you. If your family unit constantly reminds you that you're a failure, that is not your support system. Those are your birth family, that you need to go find your soul family. And I will tell you that in this day and age, energetically, 90% of the time, the people who birth you and your brother and sisters and your aunts and uncles do not end up being the family that you're going to die with, because the soul family is there to support the greatness in you. And you know, Stephen, you're an indigo. So you know that you need to find and connect with other like-minded people in order to feel valued.
Yes, yes, I think you do.
Your family is not going to understand your value.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm over here in the upper middle part of the country, and I consider a lot of my family, what is it, like 4,000 miles away over in Central Europe there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I came to Kansas City and found a lot of my soul family. You know, I lived in California my whole life, and my biological family is there, and they don't really understand what I do, and they don't really understand who I am, and that's okay. You know, because I want to live my life with non-judgmental support systems. Because, you know, I'm 40 years old and I'm still figuring it out. And therefore, I need people who are going to be supportive of my journey, as well as being able to support other people's journeys. It's like we need to love ourselves enough that we can say goodbye to people that continue to hurt us, regardless of what they are to us as far as blood or you know, coworkers or, you know, it's like, why are we continuing to suffer? Why? You know, because again, the longer you suffer, the more you attract the suffering. It's not going to go away, no matter how much you wish and pray and think positively.
Yeah.
You actually have to say to yourself, either I surrender or I love myself enough to make some changes.
Family's not going to change, are they?
Oh, hell no. Here's my language. No. And you know what? It should be in your non-judgment to allow them to not change. Just because from what you want from them, you don't want to be judged. It's your job not to judge them regardless of what they choose. It doesn't mean you need to resonate and be part of it. There's a very big difference. You can love your family and be unattached if they don't support your higher good. And this is all going back to the relationship. If you don't have great relationships, look at the relationship you have with yourself.
Yeah.
You will find the issue there. When you clean up the issue with yourself, and the relationships around you begin to clean up as well.
Yes, they do. I was just trying to mute there for some background noise, but yeah, I understand.
So do you understand the premise of actually how law of attraction is responding energetically? Because honestly, it's what you think and feel about yourself. Law of attraction, you're not attracting what you want. You attract what you are, what you're pulsing out to the universe, what you're subconsciously, unconsciously, and consciously thinking about. Is being basically magnetized back to you. So if you want love consciously, but you think that you're not very worthy of love, or you don't think you're attractive, or you don't think that anyone's going to love you, then you're going to keep all of that love away from you, because you are creating that through your belief systems, your thoughts and feelings. It's like you have to realize that thoughts are magnetic energy. Beliefs, extremely high frequency, energetic, magnetism that's being pulsed back to you. Feelings, that's a vibration. Vibration attracts vibration. It's like a tuning fork. You can't have a tuning fork stand next to you and not have your body go into the exact vibration of it. So
right.
If you're pulsing out, I'm not lovable, then you're going to find people who don't love you.
Well, I understand what you're saying. Well, let's just face it. I've been told by many, many females for a long, long time that I was good looking. I am good looking, but you know, I understand that, but I just don't get it myself. I'm not trying to be good looking, and I certainly don't take advantage of it.
Yeah. But you have to realize that your looks are just one layer of perspective. You know, have you ever like walked in somewhere and you saw someone and there was just a resonance, like a very strong, familiar feeling, then you couldn't put your finger on it and you know, you really hadn't met the person before. You have to realize that your soul has a very big signature. And so when people look at your looks, you know, they're not just looking at your looks, they're feeling who you are as a person. So have you ever met someone that was like really good looking, but they just had a really ugly personality and it actually made them less good looking?
Oh, yes. Many of them.
Yeah. And then there's some people who are not that attractive and they have amazing personalities and they become more attractive.
Oh, yes.
So it really has nothing to do with how you look, you know, and if you're hung up on how you look or you know, you don't think that you are, you know, if the women around you are telling you you're good looking and you're not feeling that, I would ask you again, what's your relationship with your mother? Because the women in your life are a reflection of the first female relationship you had on the planet. So we have to examine that relationship and clean that one up. Because
yeah.
I will tell you that you're an extremely amazing person. I know you off air and on air, and you know, I know what you deserve. And as soon as you realize what you deserve, you'll have it all.
Well, I think the problem with her is she is very judgmental. She's a perfectionist, and she's a perfectionist as far as being OCD, and she's also has this big disillusion of appearances as far as just appearing in society, how one is quote supposed to appear in society.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the stereotypical, just being stereotypical, and she takes it to an OCD level.
So how does that affect you?
Well, I've never been perfect, and I will never be perfect, and you know, I've hardly ever been able to please her, and I don't know.
Is she perfect?
No, but you can't tell her that. But you sure can't tell her that.
So there's no one that's perfect, and no one will ever be perfect, because we're not designed to be perfect. We're designed to be perfectly imperfect, and that means unique. You know, I like to talk about how we're all just a piece of the puzzle. We're all shaped different, but we all fit perfectly. And when you have someone in your life who is extremely judgmental and extremely detail-oriented and extremely left-brained and extremely OCD, you're dealing with someone who is not very happy with themselves, okay? So like, when we take that personally, we're giving away our power. You know, she is obviously, and we're not going to say anything negative about your mom because I'm sure she's amazing. But what I do would like to say is anyone who has this personality trait is striving for protection, for perfection, but does not feel worthy either. You know, she is dealing with her own wounds. And I always say this every show, hurt people hurt people. And she might not be trying to hurt you. You know, she may say, I'm saying this for your own good. But what she's also saying is I'm hurt and I don't know how to heal myself. So if you're perfect, you can make me feel better. That's not your job. Your job is to be you. Your job is to be messy and disorganized because you know what? And I don't mean your room or your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions. There's no perfection. The spiritual journey is extremely messy because you're trying to figure out after all of these years of being told what's wrong with you. You're trying to figure out what's right with you. And you need to have people around you who are not going to be judging you. I'm going to tell you that judgment is 100% ego. And ego is about separation and feeling small and you know, there's not a lot of support coming from those type of relationships.
It's about envy, isn't it?
Well, what does envy mean? Envy means comparison. Envy means I've compared myself to you and I'm not good enough when I look at you. That's a lack of self-love. So anybody, because honestly, I see people all the time who have a stronger career than me, they're better looking than me, they've got their life, you know, all figured out. And when I look at them, I am inspired, not jealous. And I'm inspired because now I've seen something else I want, and now I actually have a point of reference to work towards. So when you don't have self-love, you feel jealousy. When you have self-love, you feel inspiration. Does that make sense?
Certainly does, yeah.
So the relationship we're cleaning up on the planet right now is the one that we have with ourselves. It's not about pleasing anyone. It's not about making money. It's not about, you know, it's not about your weight. It's not about anything other than, do I love and support myself being completely, perfectly imperfect? Because I will tell you, you will never get perfection by trying to earn it to get happy. It's almost like you have to get happy with who you are while you're a work in progress.
I understand. I do.
It's like giving yourself permission to be a wreck while you're, you know, while you're rebuilding.
Yeah.
You know? Because you know what? This process of, you know, taking back our authenticity and finding that balance of who we actually came here to be and diving into our purpose, it's like we literally have to kind of have that death experience of the old ourselves. We have to completely move away from all of the things that we thought about ourselves before in order to get and rebuild a new one. You have to let that go.
That's interesting. It is.
I mean, just think about a seed. A seed actually has to be completely destroyed in order to grow.
Yes, it does. Yep.
And it has to be shoved way, way down in the dirt and fight for its way to the light. And that pretty much sums up all of our childhood. So it's a pretty cool metaphor.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So I would suggest right now, all of us, you know, anyone who's listening to your show, it's a really good time, you know, as everything's starting to speed up on the planet and we have access to more support and the world is waking up and, you know, we have wonderful teachers and wonderful guides and wonderful information abundantly available to us. This is a really, really important time to just sit back and reflect on the relationship with yourself and determine whether or not you even like yourself. Because you won't get the relationship or the success that you want until you make peace with you.
Does food and nutrition have a lot to do with this kind of recovery?
Well, let me ask you this. What would a person who loved themselves eat?
Yeah, okay.
Right? So again, I can't like myself by now putting myself on a strict diet and taking away all the things that I love so that I can get smaller or healthier so that I will like myself. You see how that's like a...
Well, you know, I've that's pretty interesting. You should bring that up because I have been 100 pounds lighter than what I am right now, and I felt worse about the world than what I do right now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It has nothing to do with what you're putting in your mouth. It has everything to do with why you're doing it.
Yeah. And I've also made 4 times the money that I'm getting right now, and I was still angry at the world and didn't like anything about my life.
Oh, I've been there too. You know, you think you strive to have it all, you get it all, and you realize actually all you ever wanted was to love yourself. I mean, that's really it. And you did love yourself. You did love yourself until, you know, you were told not to. You loved yourself until someone told you there was something wrong with you. I mean, think about it. Think about how little children act. I mean, I watch my 2-year-old all the time. He's not in judgment of anyone, especially himself. He asks for everything. He almost demands it. He has no issue with expressing himself completely and fully emotionally, and he wants what he wants. And there's no judgment about it. He is authentic, okay? But sometimes in society, we say, oh, gosh, you know, you're not behaving or you're not doing, you know, what you're supposed to.
Yeah.
But from whose version of what you're supposed to?
That's why they call them terrible twos.
Right? The terrible twos is about coming into self-discovery. So the 7-year cycle works like this. The first year you're born, it's all about self-awareness. You're getting your senses developed. You're kind of adapting to physical reality. And that second year is self-discovery. And self-discovery is messy. It's tantrums. I want to discover. I want to see who I am. I want to do this. And then you have parents who are saying, oh gosh, no, don't do that. Don't be that. Don't feel that. Don't say that. And then it shuts down. And in that fifth year of the 7-year cycle is when we're supposed to naturally move into self-love. How many 5-year-olds do you know that love themselves? Right?
Probably not too many of them that go to the American educational system anyways.
Absolutely. Think about it. That's your, what, kindergarten year?
And sure, yeah.
And that is the year where, you know, you had to learn how to conform in your household, and now you're having to learn how to conform in social society. Talk about being stripped of being authentic, right? I could ask my second grader, what was your favorite thing about your day? You know what she's going to tell me? Lunch and recess.
Yeah.
You know why? Because that's the hour where she gets to be authentic.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's when she gets to be her.
It makes a lot of sense. Oh. It does.
Oh, you know, that's why I opened a school. So, because I want to change that. I want to really, really work on the 7-year cycle and, you know, get that first 7-year cycle to the point of by the 7th year, you are in, and you're in self-mastery. And self-mastery is, I know who I am. I am who I am. I am creator. I'm abundant. I'm loving. I'm graceful. Can you imagine a 7-year-old that felt that way? Do you know how fast the planet would change?
Probably pretty quick, huh?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there because you know what? We have the desire as the, you know, our age indigos. I mean, you know, I'm 40. So, you know, if I can do this, how many other people across the planet are also doing this? I'm not special. I'm just fearless.
Well, you know, there's been a lot of talk here lately that the people that are in the millennial groups, the ones that were born after like 1980 or 85 or whatever it is, they are going to be the ones that are going to be becoming big influences on the world. And there's a lot of talk that they are the ones that, well, let's just face it, their BS meters go off a lot quicker than some of the rest of the people in the world, you know, the older people.
Have you ever heard of the 100 monkey effect, Stephen?
Kind of.
Okay, so what the 100 monkey effect is technically, you know, enough people start doing something and it becomes hardwired in consciousness and it becomes a known ability. So, you know, the monkey starts washing his food and another monkey sees him washing his food and...
Well, there's also the effect, Jessica, that... a monkey on the other side of the earth has never met these other two monkeys, and they start doing the same things.
That's what I mean, because it goes into collective consciousness. You have to realize that you are not you. You are you that's part of a collective consciousness. So when you become self-loving, you're also teaching the rest of the world how to self-love. When you are self-hating, you are teaching the rest of the world how to self-hate. So just like that monkey on one side of the planet taught the other side of the world how to do it, we're doing that now. So, of course, the next generation is already going to be downloaded and hardwired with our new collective beliefs. Like, look at the kids in technology right now. You know, my two-year-old knows how to use my phone better than I do.
Yeah. I mean, how does that happen?
Because it's collective download. It's in his DNA. You have to realize that when we learn something and master something, we actually pass that on through DNA. We evolve, not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually and collectively, we evolve. So we're passing on data through our genetic code to the next generation so that they don't have to learn. You see how that's evolution? Because now they don't have to learn as much. And that's why school is really hard for a lot of kids, because first and foremost, a lot of what they're teaching isn't even true, and there's not a need for it. So kids these days don't technically even have the desire to learn an untruth, because they know it's not true.
Our
history is completely false in the public education system.
It is.
The way they teach math, you know, there's a lot simpler ways to remind children about mathematical codes of the universe and sacred geometry. Everything's math. But the way that they teach it, it's almost like they're setting them up for them to fail.
Well, they're not really teaching children anything in school. They're just all the American public school system is, and well, for the most part, the entire world is. Who is the best memorizer and who is the best repeater?
Oh, yeah, it's all about test scores, you know, because it's about money at the end of the day. But that's going to change, because I'm going to tell you guys, you know, whoever's watching this show, if you really want to see how collective consciousness is moving through evolution, look at an education system, look at gender. Gender is shifting like crazy, right? We're having a huge shift in gender through these last 15, 20 years of just look around. You know, the children are coming in androgynous. Sexuality is a fine line. And that's how we adapt and change energetically for a very, very fast 2,000-year evolutionary process that we are in right now.
Well, you know, it sounds like your voice is just about recovered there. Do you have to leave us, or...?
Yeah, I gotta head out in about 5 minutes, but do you have any questions of any of your callers that you need? I could definitely do some question and answers, or if you have anything.
No, I just, you know, I just wanted you to maybe take a couple minutes and, just say anything you wanted to.
Okay, well, if I had to just be candid with everything that's going on, there's two things that really affect your joy and happiness in the world, and that is fear and judgment. When you can let go of fear and judgment, you will have complete spiritual awareness, literally, because judgment is separation. And when you stop judging yourself and others, there is a freedom and a unity that takes place within your consciousness. And when you let go of fear, you basically just get rid of all the barriers and become completely unlimited. And that's you could say easier said than done. But if you had literally two things to do for the rest of your life, it would be to let go of judgment and let go of fear. And I would say start facing fear, because what you'll see about fear is that it's not real. You know, do things that are outside your comfort zone. Make changes, say yes when you normally say no, or say no when you normally say yes, you know, and just start choosing yourself. And ask yourself through every decision that you make in life, what would someone who loved themselves do in this moment? What would someone who loved themselves eat? What would someone love themselves do in this particular relationship where I'm not valued? And see from a different perspective of the I am what you look like when you ask yourself that. Because that's going to shift your perspective and your awareness to even start on the journey of letting go of judgment and fear.
Yeah, absolutely good. Yeah, good stuff. Well, I will let you go here. I'm going to put your webpage, Transcendence Wellness Center, in the chat once again.
Thank you.
And I'm going to take us out.
All right. Thanks, Stephen. I will talk to you soon.
I'm going to take a little bit of a break with the Al Green song, How Can You Mend a Broken Heart?
Nice.
And then we'll be back to do some more things.
Okay, Steven.
Have a good night over there.
You too.
Thanks. All right, everyone. I'll be right back in just a few minutes here to do something else after the break. I want to thank Jessica Ahlstrom for coming back on, and I'm going to put her website in the chat one more time. And her contact is on there. She even does Skype therapy, so if anybody wants to contact her, I'm going to be doing some stuff with her. I'm going to be working with the entire group. Might even travel over there for a few weeks or do some stuff with them. I want to anyway, so I'll be right back here in just a few minutes, everyone.